Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Proverbs 17. In verse 17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. One of the definitions of a friend is that they love at all times. That is not talking about emotions. The word loves in Proverbs there is equivalent to the word agape in the Greek that the New Testament uses. So it's a love that has as its foundation the 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 characteristics. A friend loves at all times. That all times part is tricky because there are friends who will love, but not at all times. Those aren't actual friends, and that's not actual love. God knows how to define friendship. God knows how to define love. He is the source of love. He is love. And He is saying that a friend, that is, if the person is a friend, they will love at all times. And a brother is born for adversity. Now, Jesus, in Romans 8:29, was the firstborn of many brethren. And so what we're seeing here is not just the definition of friendship and somebody who's very close or loyal, what a brother is. We're actually seeing the characteristics of God Himself, that God loves at all times. And He is born for adversity. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 7, the Word of God says that Abraham is God's friend forever. In Exodus 33:11, the Word of God says that God spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. God desires a friendship. God doesn't just desire people to be servants or even just cold responders. God desires that relationship. God desires that friendship. In John 15:15, Jesus said, "No longer do I call you servants, but I call you friends." This is the goal that God wants for us, to have friendship with us. And when we have a friendship with God, we will find that a friend loves at all times. God will love you at all times. And a brother is born for adversity. There are plenty of people who've gone through some serious, sometimes life-altering trials, challenges, problems, sometimes persecutions. And they find at the other end of those trials, persecutions, what have you, that God loved them through the persecution. He was kind to them through it, and He was the brother that was born to get them through the adversity. He took care of them. He encouraged them. He provided for them. He defined things for them. He gave them wisdom, and He revealed tremendous kindness to them. God will always do that. It doesn't matter what the situation. God will always do that. Why? Because in 1 Corinthians 13:7, love endures all things. We mentioned last week, and it really is just as pertinent this week as it is throughout the entire love series, that we have to understand when it says that love does whatever, that it's talking about love that's doing it. Love endures all things. It's talking about love that is doing the enduring. People treat that as though they should produce it. They have no ability to produce it. All they have to work with is a sin nature if they are doing it apart from God. But love endures all things. Endures is the word hupomone in the original language. And means to abide and persevere in all misfortunes and trials. So love abides, remains, and perseveres in all misfortunes and trials. In Romans 12:12, love is patient in tribulation. That's what it really means here. It's patient in tribulation. Sometimes it'll happen that you get into a bad situation. I remember instances like this that I've experienced. I remember instances like this that other people have experienced. People persecute, people come against you simply because you're preaching the Word of God, simply because you represent Christ. Sometimes when preachers preach purely, people will find something to be offended at. It's amazing nowadays people look for things to be offended about. They need a life. But there are people who will find things to be offended at. The Word of God will offend them. Why? Because they are offended by Christ. They would argue that if they are religious, but they are offended by Christ. I remember one guy, when the persecution comes, the guy left. You couldn't get him to move faster. He left. He didn't just leave. He left the entire state. And the way that I know that that happened is because a friend of mine caught up with him in the state where he now lives, and he visited with him. And he told him, when that persecution came, I just could not handle it. I had to get out of there. What was the problem there? And this is not condemning him. He's simply responding in the capacity that he had. But what was the problem there? There was a lack of love. When Dr. Stevens would have sometimes people accuse him falsely, it was always falsely, of various things, then there would be those people who would really get out of there fast. What happened there? A lack of love. Love will persevere. It'll abide, it'll remain in all misfortunes and trials. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Now, this is not saying, when we say that love perseveres or it abides in all misfortunes and trials and difficulties, it is not saying that if persecution comes, you don't protect yourself. Sometimes people think, well, persecution is coming, I have to sit here and take it because love endures all things, or I am being attacked or somehow discriminated against because I'm a believer, I have to sit and take it quietly and reflect Christ to them because I am a believer. Not at all how that works. In Matthew 10:23, Jesus said, if you are persecuted in one city, run to the next. He didn't say, sit there and take it. Now, granted, there may be times when God wants you as a testimony to remain. But there may be times when the right answer is, get out. It can happen that there are people who will judge Christians who actually respond correctly to tribulations, especially persecutions. When in their leading, in their relationship before God, they leave the place that they're being persecuted. But then again, consider that the United States was founded precisely for that reason, by those types of people. So you can't say, honestly, that just because persecution comes and love endures all things, that you're to stay in the midst of the persecution. Yes, if God specifically, sovereignly tells you stay, then stay. But otherwise, move. Why? Not everybody is meant to deal, face, be oppressed by, be discriminated against by Satan's crowd. And if that's all there is in that place, then leave. Go to a place where you can have your faith, where you can preach the gospel, just like the early pilgrims did in the U.S. Go to the place where there is an expression and an opportunity to worship God, to have a relationship with Him, to do this in peace. Because frankly, the vast majority of the time, that's the right move. Now, it is love that abides. God is not looking for people to enter into a works trip. God is not looking for ascetics. It is love that abides. It's love that perseveres. The only way to have that as a part of my life is to have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But in and of myself, I have no ability toward this. In and of myself, I have no ability for any of the manifestations of love. In and of myself, I have no ability toward patience or kindness. In and of myself, I don't have the ability to think no evil. In and of myself, I don't have the ability to not be jealous or not envious. In and of myself, I do not have the ability to never get vain, to never seek my own way, and the other characteristics of love. In and of myself, that's not possible, because in and of myself, all that I have is an old sin nature, and it's living inside of my members in Romans chapter 7, and there's a war between my sin nature and what I know to be truth. But in and of myself, I don't have this ability, but love does have this ability. So in order for me to experience on a practical level the things that love is, including love enduring all things, I have to live in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And if I'm living in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, I won't be saying to myself, oh, I gotta endure this. Oh, I have to be patient. Oh, I have to be kind. Oh, I cannot think that. Oh, I have to do this. That's not how it works with God. That's not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's the old sin nature trying to accomplish something religious. The good side of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God isn't interested in us being like that. God wants us to receive things and let what we receive then transform our character. Let Him transform us, not simply conform us, but to transform us into the image of Christ. I can conform myself to a pretty good measure, even though I can't be sustained at it indefinitely. There's a lot of people who can do a pretty good show of it for a good long time before they wear out. But that doesn't matter. That's not important. That doesn't impress God. That's not what He desires. He doesn't want me to conform to anything. He wants me to be transformed. He wants me to actually become the image of His Son in Romans 8:29. He wants it to be real. He doesn't want it to be pretentious. I remember before I got saved, I was in college at the time, and I had read the Bible twice, cover to cover, and I thought Jesus was wonderful, but I sure didn't like Christians. And I didn't want them to be anything like the Christians. Because so many of the Christians that I met were pretentious. I thought they were childish. I thought they were immature. I thought they were pretending to have something, pretending to be something that they weren't. And the way that they were pretending to me was obnoxious. To me, it seemed like they were doing things that children would do as young adults. And I kept wondering to myself, why are they doing this? This is stupid. Why in the world would anybody do this? But you know what? Then I actually opened to Christianity when I found a person who wasn't pretending. The thing that really spoke to me about this guy is he laughed like a normal person would laugh. There was something funny and he laughed at it, and the laugh wasn't forced and it was not pretentious and it was not religious. He just was an ordinary guy. And I thought, hey, I'm just an ordinary guy too. I'm not trying to be anything. I'm not trying to be more than I am. I wasn't trying to be something that I wasn't, and I really did not like when I saw somebody doing that. It repelled me. It made me want to run the other way. But you know what? God doesn't ask us to pretend. God doesn't ask us to make it look like we're something that we're not. And God doesn't want us to get into these little Christianese religiosity, strange behaviors, as though we weren't ordinary people, and say, oh, this is fellowship, when in you, very well, it's not. I remember that's one of the things that bothered me. They called it fellowship, but they were just sitting around playing board games. But it's fellowship. They had no idea what fellowship was. That's not what God's looking for. There are so many unsaved people who are turned off by Christians, although they would be turned on by Christ, if they could identify the difference. When I saw that guy laugh, that released me. I thought, you know, I can deal with this. This is good. He has the Word of God. He has a relationship with God. He has what I'm looking for, and he's not pretending. And for the first time, I realized that Christianity was not about pretending. It was about possessing something. And what he possessed was a real relationship. And in that relationship, he had enough joy to simply laugh like an ordinary man. Don't ever pretend to love. Instead, receive love from God. Don't even try to love if you have not received love from God. I'm not saying go out being unkind or hurtful to people. If you're not going to love, that's fine. Then just keep your mouth shut. But don't pretend. You don't have to pretend. God is not impressed by pretending. And quite frankly, nobody else is either. Let it be real. And the way that it becomes real is you receive it in 1 John 4:19. You let God give it to you. And then when love endures all things, it'll actually be love. It'll actually be the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And it won't be a human being doing something in their natural effort, pretending to be godlike. That pretending is really a form of iniquity. Iniquity comes when there is self-orientation. That's iniquity in its most essential form. Self-orientation. Well, in Matthew 24:12, when iniquity abounds, love waxes cold. And so if I'm pretending, if I'm trying to be patient, but I don't have it, if I'm trying to be kind, but I'm not kind, if I'm trying to not think evil, but I do think evil, if I'm trying to pretend to be these things that I'm not, then simply be quiet, go to God, and ask Him for it. And then He will bring the process into your life by which He will give it to you. But don't live in self-orientation, because that's all pretending is. The more I pretend, the harder it gets. And the reason is because love grows cold where there is self-orientation. And even though I'm trying to pretend to love, it will grow cold where there is self-orientation, where I'm pretending. It's a self-defeating proposition. So how do I enter into this love? Because quite frankly, in and of ourselves, it's absolutely impossible. It's impossible for me to endure all things. It's impossible for that to be a practical reality of my life unless it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So how do I get that? In 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 24, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. For consider the great things He has done for you. in 1 Samuel 7:3, prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve Him only. In John 15:5, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. You see, there's where the fruit of the Holy Spirit comes. He bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So I abide in him, he abides in me, and there's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Only serve the Lord. Our abiding is only toward Christ. Love abides in all things. No, our abiding is only toward Christ. But in 1 Corinthians 5:18, we've been reconciled to Christ. So where love endures all things, well, all things are from God. My endurance is only toward Christ. If I realize that whatever takes place is that which God has brought, and the reason why He brought it is for my benefit in 2 Corinthians 4:15. And if I realize in Jeremiah 29:11 that God says He knows the thoughts that He has toward me, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give me an expected end, then the only thing that I have to endure is Christ. But enduring Christ is not enduring in terms of hardship. Enduring Christ is experiencing my reconciliation and my oneness to Him. And there is nothing hard or negative or exhausting or disturbing or tiring about that. So whatever I endure, I recognize my Savior gave me this, and He gave it to me for a purpose. And because I love my Savior, I will endure, I will abide in it, I will do whatever it is that is necessary to endure, to be sustained, to persevere in it. But it's not because I'm looking at a tribulation, it's because I know the source of where it came from. In Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. That means that he disregarded it. It didn't mean that he hated it. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That is to say, in all the full power of God, the full authority. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. Contradiction of sinners, that's talking about things like gainsaying, accusations. People who are trying to somehow either hurt you verbally, hurt you through accusation, or somehow thinking they will get ahead because they're opposing you. He endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Consider him, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. How do I endure all things? I consider him. I don't consider the situation and I don't consider the other people. I consider him. If I consider anything else, then it's living apart from the one new man. In other words, the oneness that I have with my Savior in Ephesians 2:15 and 16. If I live apart from the oneness that I have with Him, then I have no equipment to work with. But consider Him. Do you love God? Consider Him. Do you love Jesus? Consider Him. What happens Doesn't matter. Consider him. The circumstance is really not that relevant. Yes, you may have to deal with it, but what is relevant is that you consider him. That your gaze, your focus, that you, your thinking is centered on the Savior. Consider him. And then there's not one thing that you cannot go through, because the fruit of the Holy Spirit will be enduring all things, not you. You can't endure anything. He can endure everything. So let him do the enduring, and all you have to do is consider him. And then you don't have to endure anything. He endures everything. The love that you have for him, let that be your focus. Let that be your frame of reference. Keep yourself, Jude 21 says, in the love of God. Let that be your frame of reference. And then nothing can happen that can possibly overwhelm you, because love perseveres in all things. Now, if I step out of love, if I start staring at my situations, if I start getting nervous because I'm emotionally evaluating apart from the Word of God, then considering Him is not going to happen. Neither is perseverance. But if I consider Him, if I keep His love as my frame of reference, then I'm going to know that the heart that is behind the events says these events are not for evil, but for good. These events are not there to bring you strife, to bring you negativity. They are events of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. But it's tribulation, God. It's difficulty. It's a trial. It's such a burden. I don't know what I do. It's very difficult for me. But there is an expected end. There is an outcome to the difficulty in Romans 5, 3-5. Tribulation works patience, which is the first manifestation in the character of God. Patience works experience. You see God coming through for you over and over. Experience brings confident expectation, which produces the love of God in your heart. The love of God endures all things. Maybe you're not there today, but you will be there either tomorrow or next week or next year. But He'll get you there. Don't despise the process in favor of the outcome, because the value of the outcome is found in the process. You don't even worry about the process. Just love Him. Love your Savior, because He loves you. And then you will be able to endure all things. In Hebrews 12:7, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom the Father does not chasten? Chastening there does not necessarily mean punishment or discipline or anything like that. It can, but not usually. Chastening is the word podeia, and it means instruction, training, education, and correction. All of those come together. You cannot separate those and still have them be what they are. If you endure instruction and training and education and correction, then God deals with you as sons. But if I don't endure it, then God will not deal with you as though He were to deal with a son, because a son is instructed and trained and educated and corrected. Sometimes people, more often than they might like to admit, do not accept chastisement. They'll reject it, they'll fight against it, and they'll confess against it. You're instructing me, you're correcting me, you are training me, you're trying to educate me, as though they were God. Well, sometimes the answer is yeah, because God says you need it. And they become very offended by it because they don't want to take their place as his sons. By the way, that does include women. If he is bringing you to a point of education, instruction, training, correction, receive it. But I already know that. Apparently, what he's trying to teach you is not the thing that you think you do know, but the heart that you don't possess. Love endures all things. If we endure with him in 2 Timothy 2:12, we shall also reign with him. In 1 John 1:12, blessed is the man who patiently endures under trial. You could say, blessed is the man who has the fruit of the Holy Spirit that endures and perseveres in trials and stands up under trials, temptation and adversity, testing and afflictions and troubles. Love will take you and you will stand up under and you will persevere in trials and in tribulations and temptations and adversities and testings and afflictions and troubles, for when he has stood the test and been approved, he will receive the victor's crown of life, which God has promised to them who love him. You could paraphrase that, to those who live in the fruit of the Holy Spirit because they receive the love from him and persevere. They get the crown of life. They reign. The ones with the crowns are the crowd that reigns. You can't do it apart from him. Don't try. Instead, go to him and start receiving. Let him love you where you are, as you are. And start receiving his love, start receiving his word if you haven't been doing so, and just receive from him. Respond to him in faith. And it's not you that will do the enduring, but the fruit of the Spirit in you as you love the Lord your God. Amen. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen.